Let's all stand just for the reading of God's word. I'm excited about today's message. I believe that today's message is going to bring some comfort to us. It's going to encourage us. It's been something I've been praying into all throughout the course of this week. And if you were here last week, you know that we kicked off a brand new sermon series called I Need Some Help. Everybody say, I need some help. I need some help. I can't do this thing by myself. And one of the things that the enemy has convinced many people of is thinking that there is something wrong with you if you need some help. And that if you need some help, you can't ask for help. And I want you to know that's how he keeps people in bondage. Because it's believing this lie that I don't need help, or it's believing this lie that I can't talk to anybody about whatever it is that I'm going through. Here's what I believe about the local church, that the local church should be the safest place to have the hardest conversations. It should be the safest place, no matter the hardships that we are dealing with, right? And I know all of us in here, we come in here dressed up real nice. I'm looking at y'all. Y'all got y'all little jerseys on and all this type of stuff. Y'all got Redskins jerseys on. Y'all ain't got the right jersey on. Y'all got Buccaneer jerseys on and all this. You ain't got the right one on. So you already got issues. You need some help, right? Some of y'all watching online, y'all got y'all little stuff on. You know what I'm saying? It ain't Eagle stuff. You need some help, too. I'm here to help you today. I'm just joking. But in all seriousness, like, what happens a lot of times is we'll come here on a Sunday morning, we'll put on our Sunday best, but we got so much going on in our life, and we're struggling silently. And I believe that God wants to use this sermon series to bring out of the dark the things that we are dealing with, to minister to us, because he wants us to be free. And I don't know about y'all, I want to live in a place of freedom, amen? Does anybody want to live in freedom? Free from shame? Free from struggle, free from strongholds. And so that's what this sermon series is all about, is to help us in many different ways and to also help us to see how God is able and willing to help us if we are willing to receive it. So last week we talked about how Jesus says to the man who had a condition for 38 years, he asked him this question that I'm asking us again today. Do you want to get well? In other words, do you want to get better? Do you want your life to be better? Do you want your marriage to be better? Do you want your relationships to be better? How bad do you want it? Because he is willing and able. But it's up to us to be willing to receive it. And I believe that you're here today because you want it. And so we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And here is what the scripture says. I love it. It says, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 25 says this, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today that I believe many of us in here are dealing with right now. When you feel alone, I want to preach on loneliness today, because I believe some of us in here need some help when it comes to dealing with loneliness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up in this moment. Holy Spirit, speak to us. I pray that you would give us a word for those of us who are dealing with loneliness. Many of us right now are watching online, feeling alone. Walk through these doors, even with people, but we still feel alone. Would you comfort us? Would you speak a word of freedom over our lives? In Jesus' name, and every person said, amen. Amen. You can be seated here in this place when you feel alone. Loneliness is something, family, that many of us struggle with, whether we choose to admit it or not. Loneliness is something that can affect all of us at different times and seasons of our lives. This research group by the name of Barna conducted a research in polling people, and what they discovered when it pertained to this topic of loneliness, they discovered in their survey that 1 in 3 people have admitted to feeling lonely at least once per day. 1 in 3 people have admitted to feeling lonely at least one time each day. And if we were to take that statistic and apply that even to those of us who are online and to those of us who are here, That means for every role that we are filling up, if the numbers are true, out of the four or five of us on each row, one of us feels lonely right now. And when I think about this topic of loneliness and think about how many people struggle with loneliness, I think something that could be helpful is for us to define and get an understanding to some degree of what loneliness is. One group defines loneliness as the state of distress or discomfort that results when one perceives a gap between one's desires for social connection and actually experiences it. The state of distress or discomfort that results when one perceives a gap between one's desires for social connection and actually has experiences of it. And I just want to ask us an honest question today. I think we're all family here, and I think we could all be honest with one another. I believe that the church should be a place of truth. How many of us in here have ever dealt with loneliness? Just by showing hands. I want y'all to look around in here, because I think one of the things that the enemy convinces all of is that I'm the only one who deals with it. But I hope and pray that as you took a look at the people and your brothers and sisters in Christ in this room, that you would see that I'm not the only one. You're not the only one who deals with loneliness. All of us, no matter your age, no matter if you're a teenager, no matter if you're a young adult, a college student, no matter if you are in your 30s and 40s, no matter if you are single or married, have kids, retired, older in age, all of us will deal with loneliness in some way at some point in our lives. All of us will feel these feelings of loneliness in some capacity. And matter of fact, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, the Bible talks about how God created everything. He created the heavens. He created the stars. He created the cosmos. He created the waters. He created animals. He created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And numerous times throughout the book of Genesis chapter 1, specifically after he was creating things, the Bible says, and he saw that it was good. He called it good every time he created something that he liked. But then the scripture pivots a little bit to chapter 2, where it's talking about the creation of humanity, Adam and Eve, as we would know them as. And the scripture says something very interesting in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, after God had created Adam. The scripture says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. Isn't it interesting, family? That all of chapter 1, God is creating things, and he says, it is good. It is good. The Lord saw it. God saw it, and it was good. But then we get to this juncture here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and it says, and the Lord had made Adam, and he said, it's not good for him to be alone. I find it interesting that God says, it's not good for us to have a whole bunch of animals. He says, it's not good for man to be alone. It is the first time in scripture where God says something is not good. And what the emphasis here is not that there's an absence of things. It's that there is an absence of relationship. In other words, loneliness, as we see God saying that it's not good, in other words, it is not something that God wants for our lives to take up. God's desire is not that we would live in this state of loneliness, which brings us here to Hebrews chapter 10. Because here in Hebrews chapter 10, the believers here in this scripture were experiencing difficulties of all kinds. They were being persecuted for their faith. Later on in chapter 10, the Bible talks about how their possessions were being confiscated because of their faith. People were being beheaded and martyred because of their faith. They're experiencing persecution from every corner. Their families are being ripped apart. People are being killed and murdered. Kids are being snatched away from family. And many of them, as we can see throughout the book of Hebrews, are discouraged. Many of them even feel alone. And all throughout this book, the writer of Hebrews is writing to believers who are struggling in their faith, dealing with discouragement. And I want to help us understand something about discouragement, which is why I believe the Holy Spirit has led us to this passage today. Discouragement oftentimes is the breeding ground and becomes the foundation for disconnection. Because oftentimes when we are discouraged, we are inclined to disconnect. So the writer spends so much time here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help these believers who are in need in these different areas of their lives. And I believe that this text here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 specifically helps us to see a few truths when it comes to us being alone, when it comes to us feeling alone, for those of us who are battling loneliness. I want to help you understand this principle first that we see here in Scripture, that when we feel alone, there's always going to be what I'm calling the temptation of isolation. When we feel alone, there is always going to be this pull to isolate. There's always going to be this draw to disconnect. So notice what the writer says in verse 25. And we'll get to these other verses in a moment, but I want us to see what's happening here in verse 25. The writer says, let us watch out for one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. Not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. The writer here, family, is highlighting the fact that some of the believers here were isolating themselves because of what they were going through. Isolating themselves because of what they were dealing with, which shows us something that's especially true. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel discouraged, and when we feel alone, we are tempted to isolate. We are tempted to move away. And isolation, family, I need you to understand this, is oftentimes what the enemy wants us to fall into, especially when we feel alone. And isolation and disconnection can easily become a way of life. How do we know that? Because notice what the writer says here. Let's not neglect to meet together as some are in the habit of doing. So one moment of isolation can now begin to turn into a lifestyle of isolation. Have y'all ever seen things like Nat Geo and Animal Planet and how there's a predator maybe in the wild and he's sitting back and he's watching these different animals looking for his next dinner and his next meal? You notice how predators don't oftentimes attack crowds. They attack individuals. They don't attack the herd. They oftentimes look for the one that has been disconnected from the herd. So now when I think about that, I think about what the scripture says when it talks about how the enemy roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And do you know oftentimes the people that he's looking to devour, he's looking to devour the ones who are disconnected. And so when you and I feel alone, that's why it's no coincidence that you and I feel tempted to isolate. We feel tempted to draw away. So now it becomes tempting to do things alone. It becomes tempting to not allow anyone into our space. It becomes tempting to try to do life on our own, which can lead to us feeling alone. And some of you are here today and you're watching online right now and you are in a marriage and you feel alone. You feel alone in a friendship. You feel alone in a family. You feel abandoned. You feel as if you've been left by yourself to figure out life. You're carrying the load by yourself. And oftentimes, family, when we feel alone, it leads to us going down some dark places. So it leads to us turning to bad habits. It leads to us turning to unhealthy practices. It leads to us turning to toxic people. It leads to us turning to untrue thoughts. Thoughts like, I'm worthless. Thoughts like, this world will be so much better without me. Thoughts like, no one cares about me. So now you fall into this rut. You don't return text messages back. People are calling you, but you're not calling them back or picking up the phone. You're not posting online like you used to. You're disconnecting yourself from people. Now, I want us to understand something, family. There's a difference between being lonely and being a place of solitude. Those are two different things. Solitude says, I'm drawing away to connect with God in a greater way. Loneliness says that I'm pulling away and I'm stuck now in my misery. I got to work through this by myself. And what the enemy wants is for us to drift away when we feel discouraged. that when we begin to feel lonely, that we begin to turn to practices, habits. Some of us in here today, if you would be honest, you might not ever say this, but the thoughts of suicide entered your mind not when you were around people, but when you were by yourself. Some of your darkest thoughts came when you were feeling alone. And this is the thing that nobody likes to talk about. But what happens then is the tragedy happens, where we find out about things on the news, or where we find out about things that have happened to somebody from a mutual friend. And at the core of so much of this are feelings of loneliness. I don't want us to think that there's something sinful if you experience feelings of loneliness, because all of us feel lonely. That just means you're human. All of us will feel these moments of loneliness. But the question is, how do I respond when I feel it? What do I do now when I feel alone? And I want to let you know, family, online and in person, if you're in this place right now and you feel alone and you feel like there is no hope and you feel as if there is no help, I'm here to let you know that there is hope, and I'm here to let you know that there is help. And the scriptures give us hope in times when we feel alone, and the scriptures gives us this hope, that even when we feel alone, God has promised to be with us. That even when we feel lonely, even when we disconnect, and even when we feel like nobody understands us, the Bible gives us this assurance that God has promised that he will always be with us, which is why the writer later on in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says it like this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, the Bible says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will never leave you nor abandon you. God has given you and I a promise that when we feel alone and when we feel as if nobody is here for us and when we feel the need to disconnect, God says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here with you through the darkest valley, through the darkest moments, through the ugliest of moments. He has not gone anywhere. Which is why one of the names that was given to Jesus as he was being prophesied to come to earth and to take upon his own body the sins of the world, the Bible says, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, which means this, family, no matter what it is you're going through, God is with you. If you're suffering right now, God is with you. If you're in a dark place right now, God is with you. If you're feeling lonely, God is with you. If you're feeling depressed, God is with you. If you feel overwhelmed, God is with you. If you feel like people walked out on you, God is with you. And I believe that some of you guys are here today and you can testify to the fact that when I was in my darkest moments, when I was in some of my ugliest moments, I know that God was with me, because the only reason I made it through what I was going through was because God was with me. We got a promise when we're feeling lonely, and it's this: that God will never leave us nor abandon us. He's with you. But Pastor Edwin, I don't feel it. Do you think it's coincidence that you've made it here today with everything that you're going through? It is proof and evidence that God is with you. Do you think it's coincidence that you happen to log on this stream and you weren't even looking for a church today? God is with you, which means even when you're feeling betrayed, God is with you. Even if you're mourning a loss, God is with you. And the Bible says that he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble, which means this, family, I don't know what it is that's troubling you right now. I don't know what's troubling your mind. I don't know what's troubling your soul. I don't know what's troubling your spirit. I don't know what's troubling you right now. But here's what I do know. The scripture gives us this assurance that he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble, which means whatever your trouble is, God is able to do something about it. Whatever your burden is, God is able to do something about it. Whatever you came in here carrying on your mind, God is able to do something about it. Because he has not left us. He has not abandoned us. He ain't going anywhere. And I know sometimes it may not feel like it, but here's what I understand about feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. So you got to get to the place where you begin to preach to your feelings. I feel like God is not here, but I preach to myself and tell him, I know God is with me, because he said never will he leave me nor forsake me. You got to begin to preach to your own thoughts and your own mind and your own heart, because your heart will trick you into thinking that God has abandoned you. But the truth of the matter is, God hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here with you. never to leave, never to forsake you. And the writer gives us assurance here that even when we feel alone, God is with us. And so this principle that I want us to see here in this scripture is that not only in times of feeling lonely will there be this inclination to and this temptation to isolate, but there's something else that's also present when we feel alone. Not just a temptation, but an invitation. The invitation, I'm calling it, to connection. Everybody say connection. I want you to look at what the scripture says in verse 23 through 25. It says, let us hold on to this confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's interesting here because if you look at the scripture, and I want you to go back home and meditate on this and reflect on this. Don't just read it right here as I'm preaching it, but tonight, go home. Today, go home. This week, go home. Meditate on this. Notice how many times the writer says, and let us. And let us. And let us. There are three times that the writer says, let us. In other words, this is an invitation to help us to when we feel alone. And as these believers were enduring all types of challenges and difficulties, the writer of Hebrews is inviting them to take up this invitation. He's inviting them to take up this invitation. Because if there's one thing that we need to know when we feel alone or think we are alone, it is that we need to be connected. We need to be not disconnected. We need to be connected. And here in this passage, family, the scripture gives us multiple invitations that I want to highlight for our next few minutes that we got together. First is this invitation to connect with God. So look at what the scripture says in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us draw near to God, some translations say, with a sincere heart. In other words, this is an invitation, y'all, to come close to God. And I knew y'all wouldn't appreciate that. And I wouldn't appreciate it either unless we first read what comes before verse 22. Because to understand the significance and the power of verse 22, you got to go back to verses 19 through 21. And notice what the scripture says here in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Now, some of us are like, Pastor Edwin, what's the significance of this? Why is this such a big deal? Well, to understand this, this is all steeped in what we know as Old Testament language. Because in the Old Testament, this person by the name of the high priest would go into what was known as the most holy place, or the holies of holies, in the temple of God to make sacrifices on behalf of the people. And this would always happen once a year. It was known as the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, as some people would call it. And it was on this day where the high priest would go in and take animal blood, as it was required by God, to sacrifice and to offer up for the sins of the people. Now, the issue with this was the only person that could go in the most holy place, which is where the presence of God resided, was the high priest, which means you and I couldn't get in there. The only person who had authority and permission to come into that place and that space where the presence of God dwelt was the high priest. And even the high priest, if he didn't come in there the right way, he would be struck dead for his sin. So in the scripture, the Bible will talk about how he would have a belt worn around his waist. And this belt was worn around his waist just in case he died and the people needed to pull him out because the people couldn't go in. And the high priest would wear these bells around his feet to signify to the people on the outside so they can hear that ministry or that sacrifice was being made. And if the bells stopped, they know what happened. Only the high priest could go in the most holy place, because in the temple, you had the outer courts, the inner courts, and the holies of holies, or the most holy place. In other words, this is VIP only, family. We weren't good enough to come into his presence because of our sin. But look at what the scripture says in verse 19. Brothers and sisters, we have boldness now to enter the sanctuary through the blood. The blood that the high priest would offer up back then of animals? No. The writer is saying there's a better blood that has been offered for you. And we got a greater high priest who goes in on our behalf and offers up sacrifice for the sins of the world and offers up a sacrifice for our sins, and his name is Jesus. And when Jesus went into the most holy place and offered up the sacrifice once and for all, the Bible says that the veil that separated the most holy place from the outer court and the inner court was torn in half, which means this: all of us got access to the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. I thought I would get some help right there, because what it means is that whenever we are in a time of need, we can come boldly into the presence of God. We can come boldly before the throne of God because of Jesus. Which is why Jesus says this in John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. In other words, your good deeds don't get you into the presence of God. Buddha doesn't get you into the presence of God. Muhammad doesn't get you into the presence of God. Horoscopes don't get you into the presence of God. More money doesn't get you into the presence of God. The only thing that can grant you access into the presence of God is the blood of Jesus. And I just want to know, is anybody here online? Because they're not talking to me here today. Is anybody online that's grateful for the blood of Jesus? The blood that forgives my sins. The blood that sets me free. The blood that grants me access to God. And because of his blood, no matter my sins, past, present, and future, I can come into the presence of God. So because Jesus has made a way, the writer says, therefore, let us draw close to God. Connect with him. And I know the enemy has convinced some of us in here, I can't come to God because I'm stinky and I'm sinful. I'm here to let you know Jesus came for that very purpose. He knows how much of a mess up you and I are. He knows how much sin you and I have had in our life. He knew the sin you would commit years from now, 2,000 plus years ago, when he went to the cross, but he did it anyhow. Why did he do it? Because of his love. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I just want to know, is anybody here grateful today for the love of God, that we have been set free because of the love of God? He has cleansed me. He has set me free. He has opened up a door. Because of Jesus, he has made me. Because of Jesus, he has carved out the way. So he says, draw near, come close. Which means, family, we can get close to God and draw close to God outside of just Sunday. So I draw close to God on Sunday. But I don't know about y'all, I need God more than on Sunday morning. I need him on Monday when somebody cuts me off on the interstate. I need him on Tuesday when my kids are acting crazy. I need him on Wednesday when I get bad reports. I need him on Thursday. I need him on Friday. I need him on Saturday. And I need him again on Sunday. And I believe some of y'all are in here today and you're like, God, I don't just need you one day of the week. I need you every single day, because I battle with loneliness. I battle with insecurity. But the good news of the gospel is God says, I am an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And he's with us every single day. So he gives us this invitation. Draw close. Draw close. How do we draw close? We draw close through prayer. We draw close through reading the word. We draw close by thinking about doing his will. Can I say this? And we got it for you. And it's on the screen. I need you to take a screenshot of it. That we draw close to God, not just for eternal life, but for everyday life. Because when I'm thinking about cussing you out, I need his presence. Oh, y'all don't want to be real with me today? When I'm thinking about maybe doing something that I know goes against the will of God and the word of God, I need his presence. Not just for eternal life. That's taken care of. I need him every day. Because every day there's something new that's happening. But the scripture says, morning by morning, his mercies are new. Thank God that he gives us new morning, new mercies for every single day. He gives us new grace for every single day. He doesn't give us stale grace from yesterday. He gives us brand new grace for today. And he gives us new grace for tomorrow. And he gives us new grace for next week. I like what the writer says in Psalm 42, 2. He says this, I thirst for God, the living God. I thirst for him. I thirst. Then the writer says, when can I come and appear before God? He's living with such a hunger and a thirst that he says, I just need God. I need his presence. And the scripture also says this, that those who thirst and hunger for righteousness will be filled. And I just want to know, is anybody in here thirsty for God and hungry for God? You've tried the bread of this world, and you've tried the water of this world. You've tried all these different sources, and it's left you feeling more hungry, and it's left you feeling more thirsty. But man, I want to invite you to take a taste of the living water of heaven. I want to invite you to get a taste of the bread of heaven, which is Jesus Christ, because those who thirst and hunger for righteousness will be filled. Which means if you're feeling alone in here, God is inviting you to connect with him. And some of you walk through these doors and you logged on online and you have felt alone and God has given you this invitation. Hey, come to me because I've already come to you. Come to me. Draw close. Get close. And not only do we have this invitation to connect with God when we feel alone, but we also have this invitation to connect with God's people when we feel alone. So the writer says it like this, back in verse 24 and 25, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing. Not neglecting to gather together. Not forsaking the gathering together. The writer says to the believers in the church, don't give up meeting together. Y'all need one another. He says, don't be disconnected. Rather, connect with one another. Why? Because within God's church and being connected to God's people and being connected to God's family, it nourishes our soul. It encourages our heart. Because within the church, that's where encouragement happens. That's where strengthening happens. That's where comforting happens. Notice the language here. The Bible says here, the writer, he says it like this, let us watch out for one another and provoke love and good works. In other words, if I'm not connected, I'm not going to be provoked to love and to good works. But the writer says, be connected to one another. Encourage one another. Support one another. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person, one man sharpens another. Which means that in order for a sharpening to take place, that means those two items have to be close together. Which also means the opposite is true. If those two objects don't come together, there's not a sharpening that takes place. There's a dulling that takes place. And can I help us understand something? I say this gently. Part of the reason why some of our lives are dull is because we're disconnected. But God says, the minute you take this invitation and you connect with my people, that's when a sharpening happens. You can't carry these burdens by yourself. It's killing you. That's why you feel exhausted. That's why you feel depleted. Because God says, you're carrying things that I've invited you to give to other people to help carry the load. Which is why the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 1, to carry one another's burdens. And in doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. Which means this, when you mourn, I mourn. When you rejoice, I rejoice. If you suffer, I suffer. Because we're called to be connected to one another. And I believe one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to convince people that they don't need the church. I don't need church. Can I push back against that lie from the pit of hell? Yes, you do. Yes, I do. We need it. We need this connection. We need to be in relationship with one another. We do need the church. Which is why the writer says, don't forsake the gathering together. And the believer's family were meeting together on all types of occasions. They didn't just meet together to worship together. They did life together. If they were in the 21st century, they would be texting each other. They would be calling each other. They'd be pulling up to each other's house just randomly out of the blue. They would be supporting each other in times of loss and in times of mourning. Oh, we need the church, y'all. We need one another. And I love this. And one of the things that I love about this is because when I think about the scripture, I think about all the things that God is doing here at our church. And one of the things that I love to say about our church is that we are one church with many rooms. One house, many rooms. So we got rooms like connect groups that are so various all across the board. Different types of connect groups that meet on different days of the week, led by different people. Then we got other types of rooms in the form of youth ministry and college and young adult ministry. Many rooms, one house. And I'm here to let us know that family in the house of God is everything that we need. In the house of God, God has supernaturally created his family through the blood of Christ to make sure that all of our needs are somehow being fulfilled through the local church. Because when we're connected to one another, God has a strange way of working these connections. Where you might be in need of a certain way, and somebody in your church family says, I don't necessarily have the means to meet this need, but I know somebody who does. And now they connect you to that person, and that person gets you what you need. God has a strange way of connecting us. Which is why we're kicking off connect groups today, which is why I want to invite you to get in the connect group, y'all, because we can't do this thing called life by ourselves. And if there's one thing that has happened as a result of this two-year pandemic and a whole year almost of isolation and being disconnected, what we're seeing now is ripple effects as a result of that, which is why suicide rates are up higher than they've ever been before. Just amongst teenagers, they are up 300% over this decade because people feel alone and because people feel disconnected. But God has given us this gracious invitation. He says, I don't want you to do this thing called life alone. Because I want you to be connected to me, but I also want you to be connected to one another. And can I help us understand something, family? When we are connected, there's a blessing in connection. You don't believe me? Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 92. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Watch verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of our God. Did you see it? Planted in the house of God, the family of God, the church, they thrive. Which means true thriving God's way does not happen being disconnected from his people. But my God, when you get planted in the house of God, your life will begin to flourish. Doesn't mean that your life will be perfect. Doesn't mean that you won't have issues. Doesn't mean that you won't have difficulties. But what it means is that when you do have difficulties, what it does mean is when you are going through dark moments, you got a family and you got a people who are here to support you, to help you thrive in the midst of hardships and in the midst of difficulties. There is a blessing in connection. Y'all have heard the saying of people here in culture where they say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's rooted in scripture to some degree. Because it ain't always about what you know, but we see in scripture, it's about who you know. It's about who you're connected to. And I don't know about y'all, I'm grateful that I got spiritual family here in this church. And I'm grateful that I got spiritual family in other places all throughout this country, all throughout this state. People who are here to intercede for me. People that I can lean on. People that I can go to for wisdom and counsel and direction and encouragement. Because God desires that we be connected. Here's what Psalm 139 verse 1 says. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is. Psalm 133, it is when God's people live together in unity. And then in verse 3, it says, for there the Lord has commanded a blessing. There is a blessing in being connected. There's a blessing in being unified. I believe that that's why for some of us, the enemy has done his hardest work to convince you that you don't need to go to church. And you know how he masquerades it? Church hurt. Do you not realize that in the family of God, yes, you experience some pain, but it's also in the family of God where you experience healing? I believe. Now, don't get me wrong. Things do happen. Let me tell you, how do I know this? Because it is the family of God. And as long as we're here on earth, there's not going to be any sense of perfection. We are all being perfected. So just like your natural family got issues, come on. Spiritual family got issues too. And it's being worked up out of us. That's not to excuse ugly things that have been done or demonic things that have been done. That's not to excuse that. But the thing that the enemy will want you and I to think is that this is what represents and characterizes the whole family of God. And that is a lie. And I believe that the reason why the enemy tells us this lie is so that way we could disconnect. Because once again, he roams around like a roaring lion. And he says, if I can get you disconnected from God's family and get you by yourself, I can snuff out your life. Because his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says he is the good shepherd. And he came to give us life and life more abundantly. God's desire is that we be connected to one another. But we need one another. We need one another of all kinds. I love the fact that our church is young and old and white and black and so many other variations. I love that. Why? Because we are better together. We need one another. We strengthen one another. We sharpen one another. And the good news is this. If you're here today and you're going through life alone, I want you to know that you don't have to. I want you to know that God loves you and so do we. I want you to know that God is for you and so are we. I want you to know that God has not left you. He has not abandoned you and neither will we. He says in his house, there is comfort, which means you don't have to mourn by yourself any longer. You don't have to struggle by yourself any longer. I don't care what you're struggling with. You could be struggling with porn right now. And the enemy has convinced you to thinking, I can't confess that. And I can't share that because there's so much shame. Jesus says, I didn't come to say shame on you. I came to say shame off you. And I've said this multiple times. This church, our church, I can't speak for other churches. But here at this church, this is a judgment-free zone. More than Planet Fitness. Why do we say that? Because all of us got some struggles and some things that we're dealing with. All of us need help in many areas of our life. Some of us need help with our purity. Some of us need help with our finances. Some of us need help in our relationships. And I love the fact that the church family is not meant to be a perfect place. The church is a hospital saying, if you need something, come to the church. Come into the family of God. Everybody's messed up. Everybody's broken. But here's the good thing. We all come to this man named Jesus, who's the great physician, the one who is able to heal us, the one who is able to set us free, the one who is able to restore us, the one who is able to bring forth healing. You got issues? Awesome. Welcome to the family. We all do. Some of us are just better at covering them up than others. And the reason why this is so important is because some of you, God has delivered you from some stuff, not just for you, but he's delivered you from some stuff so that way you can help somebody else who's going through the same stuff so that they can know that in Christ Jesus, just like you got free, they can get free as well. Oh, we need one another, family. There is this invitation to connection. That's what it's about. That we would be the type of people that understand and that tell others, you do not have to go through life by yourself. Some of you are working with coworkers right now, and you have family members right now, and they feel alone. And some of you know what that feels like because that was you. And God has called you to minister to that need, to bring forth encouragement, to let them know that God is for them, and to let them know that his family is open for them as well. And I love the fact, family, that God's family is an open invitation to all who want to come. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your career is. It doesn't matter what it is that you're dealing with. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the family of God is open for everybody. It is open season to be a part of the family of God. We stand under an open heaven, which is why the Bible now says again, once again, draw close to God, because Jesus has made a way for us. He has opened up the door for us to be connected to God and to be connected to one another. And I'm so glad, family, that even in times of feeling alone and even in times where I felt like I was abandoned, God gave this assurance through Jesus that we have a hope and a help for our loneliness. Why? Because Jesus himself can identify with our loneliness. The Bible says it like this in Hebrews 4, that we don't have a great high priest who doesn't sympathize with our weaknesses, but rather we do have a high priest who can sympathize with our temptations. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, if you feel lonely, Jesus says, I know what that feels like. And the reason why we can know that's true is because the Bible says when he was on the cross for our sins, he said these words, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was on the cross because of our sin. And in this moment, he felt abandoned. In this moment, he felt alone. But I'm glad because he went through that, not for his sake, but he went through that for my sake. But the good news is this, that on Sunday morning, after he died on the cross, he rose with power in his hands to let us know that he has power over loneliness. He has power when I feel by myself. He has power when I feel abandoned, that I don't have to go through life alone anymore, but I got a God who is with me. I got a God who's supporting me. So now Paul says something like this in Romans 8. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Will nakedness, will famine, will disaster, will calamity? Can I insert another one? It's not in the Bible, but I think the principle is applicable. Can loneliness? Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I sense that some of you right now, you came in here today and you're watching online and you're in this place of feeling alone. Walking through so much. And God is saying, no longer do you have to walk through life alone. But you got a God who's for you. And you got his people who are with you. No longer do you have to try to carry this struggle and this weight by yourself. I want to give you this word. I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. And if you don't get anything out of this message today, I need you to get this truth in your heart. When you feel alone, lean into the presence of God. Lean on the people of God. When you feel alone, lean into his presence. Lean on his people. You have a perfect God who is for you, never against you, never abandoning you. He's not scared by your struggle. He is not allergic to your sin. His grace is sufficient. Which means that no matter what you're carrying right now, whatever's consuming your heart, I want you to know that God is able to minister to that need. You're not alone. And some of us have grown up with wounds. Some of us literally deal with abandonment issues because people that you confided in and trusted, they walked out on you. I don't know if there's anything maybe that cuts more deep than betrayal. And some of us have been wounded by betrayal, and it has now turned into bitterness, and it has now caused you to be in this place of feeling like I'm by myself. And I'm here to give you good news that Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I abandon you. And here's why. The Bible says it here in Hebrews 10. We draw near to him. Why? Because he is faithful. Even when people are fickle, Jesus is always going to be faithful. Which means I don't care who walked out on your life yesterday, last week, last year, when you were a child, the father who left you, the mother who left you, who was now in the grave and you weren't able to reconcile. I'm here to let you know that you got a God named Jesus, and he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He was with you when you were going through it. He has not left you at all. You are grieving it, yes. You are mourning it, yes. But I want to give you hope and good news to let you know that in Christ Jesus, you got a God who has been with you and been beside you every step of the way. And the reason why you made it to where you are today was because of his goodness. It was because of his faithfulness. It was because of his mercy. It was because of his love. And he now extends this invitation to say, would you draw close to me? Would you lean into me? I want to invite us with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. Some of you right now, you feel alone. You're battling with loneliness. I just want you to be honest. I'm going to invite you to this place of honesty right now. If you are battling loneliness right now and you're dealing with this right now, it may not be a lot of you, but I believe that this word is for some of you right now. And some of you are going through it right now. All of us will go through it at some point. But if you're here today and you're battling right now with loneliness, you haven't even confessed this to anybody. You haven't told your spouse. You haven't told anybody on your job. You haven't told the family member. You haven't told your parent if you're a young person. But if you're here today and you're struggling right now with loneliness, could you just lift up your hand. I just want to see you really quick. If that's you, amen. 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 Come on, if you're online, would you lift up your hand? I can't see you, but God does. Father, for every hand lifted, every young hand lifted, every older hand lifted, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would feel the comforting presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that they would know that in you they have a God who will never leave them nor forsake them. That even when the temptation to isolate and disconnect is strong, your invitation to connect back with you is much stronger. That you are for them and not against them. I pray that today that they would know that you are by their side, never to leave, never to forsake. In Jesus' name, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and maybe you lifted up your hand saying you feel alone, or maybe you're here today and you've never received and responded to this invitation from God to give your life to him, to draw close to him, I'm here to let you know, family, that today is that day. Today is the day for you to say yes to Jesus, to ask Jesus into your life, to say, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. I'm devoting my all to you. I'm surrendering my life to you. I give you my soul. I give you my sins. I want to receive your life. I want to receive your love. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to receive your grace. If this is you this morning, church family, and you're saying today, I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be set free. I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith and confession. Would you say these words of faith? Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my sin. I thank you that you shed your blood for my sins to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, to set me free from my sin. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In your name I pray. And every person said amen.